2 Peter chapter 1. I put chapter 1. Let's start in verse 12. Now notice what he says. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Yes. Though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now, one job that I have or responsibility as a pastor is to remind you of things you already know. Pastor, you already preached about, Peter at this point in his life, he's an older man. He's going, I'm trying to just remind you of the things you're supposed to do, okay? Notice verse 13. Yea, I think it meet or necessary, as long as I am in this tabernacle, this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We saw this on Sunday when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were, notice, eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Notice this. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Okay. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay. I also have chapter 2. Let's keep going. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as also there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in, notice, damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Okay, we'll pause there for a minute. But to look at this tonight, I want you to notice how to interpret the Bible. Now, look in your notes there. To interpret means literally to explain or tell the meaning of. Well, we know that. Present it in understandable terms. Now, the word Peter used for interpretation means a loosening, unloosing, and is a metaphor for interpretation. Interpretation means to unloose that is what is written in the scriptures. Now, Paul chided the Corinthians, and he asked them this question. He says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done and edifying. Now, if you remember, the church at Corinth, they were messed up, to say it lightly, weren't they? And they all came together at one time, and they all had this, I got something to say. I've got a doctrine, I've got a revelation, I've got a psalm. Paul says, keep everything decent and in order, but he says, notice as we continue in that paragraph, the word he used for interpretation means to explain in words or to expound, to translate what has been spoken or written in foreign tongue into the vernacular. We'll see that in just a minute. Now notice this. This is very interesting. The third paragraph there, Joseph was called upon to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Now he told Pharaoh what we must understand and apply when we try to interpret Scripture. Notice Genesis 41, verse 15. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, is it not in me? It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Now, what's he doing? He's saying it's God that will give the interpretation. Now, let me clarify this again. Joseph is a wonderful man of God, along with Daniel. Daniel said almost the exact same thing. When you get some clown that stands up, and I say that very nicely, and he says, this is what God gave me, and it contradicts the Bible, you need to turn him off. Okay, because the Holy Spirit, and who's the author, we're going to look at that in a minute, and the Bible never contradict each other. Never have, never will. If I wrote a book today, and you came up to me and said, Tim, now you wrote in chapter 3 on page 100 and something this, but then you said this in public, I'd contradict what I wrote. And some authors have gotten in trouble by that as well, by doing that. The author, the Holy Spirit, will never do that. Okay? Now think about what Joseph said. He said, it's not in me. It's God that'll give you the answer. Now, what are we saying today? We say the exact same thing. It is not in me. God will give you the answer. You and I have a wonderful ability. I've said this before. We are one of the only religions, if you want to call it religion, that has the ability to fact check what I say. You go into Hinduism. Hinduism does not have a book that every person has possession of that they can go home and fact check what the high priest says. Muslims have the Quran, we know that. But you understand today we have the Bible that you can go home and say, well, Brother Tim, you said this and this is what the Bible says. In fact, I've had that happen many times. And it was simply because I misquoted it. It came out wrong. And I said, well, I believe that too, brother. You don't have to beat me over the head. I believe that too. I just misspoke. Okay. Now think about it. Now continuing, notice the Lord Jesus also, in the next paragraph, he interpreted his words or his word to the disciples. Now notice Luke 24:27. We're going to look at this on Sunday morning. But this is again the story of those two individuals on the road to Emmaus. You remember the story? These two guys that completely had no idea what was going on. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, now think about that. He expounded unto them all of the scriptures, the things concerning who? Himself. You think you can find Jesus in the Old Testament? Sure. Jesus pointed that out to them, and they understood what he was doing. Well, he continues Luke 24:32, and they said one to another, these individuals, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he, notice the word, opened to us the scriptures. There's the word, interpret. He opened to us the scriptures. It burned within us. Now think about, when you study the Bible correctly, the Holy Spirit will help. He will stir within you through this. Now, the Lord then promised to do that very thing for us today by His Spirit. Now, notice John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He will show you things to come. Things to come. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide us into, notice the wording, all truth. Directly into all truth. Again, I say, we can't contradict. You got an individual out back in the late 80s. We call him the Wacko from Waco. What was his name? Koresh out in Waco, Texas. And he was a good preacher, by the way. You ever listen to him? He was a good preacher. And it said, I don't know how accurate it is, but he memorized most of the New Testament. He had it memorized. He could quote it. And he preached really well, and the people got a good group, a big gathering. And then he started saying some real weird stuff when he was preaching, didn't he? And in one message, he was preaching along, and man, it was good. And all of a sudden he said, and by the way, the Lord told me last night, he spoke to me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, I need to have all of your wives for myself. Now, right there, the red flag should have gone off and said, this guy's a psycho. Okay. Now, why? Because it contradicts what the Bible says, right? And the good part is that there was a lot of people that stood up to him and said, hey, David, that's not right. And when they did that, he kicked them out. And that was probably the best choice they ever made in their life, best thing that happened to them. Okay, again, what I'm saying is that when we study the Scripture, He will guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide us. I talked to one man, and I said this before, but he said, Tim, now, I know what the Bible says, but I also know my experience that I had. And I trust my experience over the Bible. Now, what he told me was very fascinating. But he said he was in his apartment one day, and he was praying to the Lord. That's a good thing. He was studying his Bible. That's a good thing. But then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Now again, we don't believe the Holy Spirit speaks in an audible voice. Okay? In these days, He's spoken to us through His Word. Anyways, he heard a voice. And what did it tell him to do? It told him this. He said, to get up, and He's calling me out like Abraham, to go into a country I don't know where to go, just to go out and to leave my wife and kids and go on a journey to find God. What's wrong with that? It's not what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit would never lead you to leave your wife and kids. Now think about it. And he said this statement to me. He said, I know what the Bible, because I stopped him. I said, no, that's not right. He said, I know what the Bible says. I know what you're going to say, but I trust my experience over the Bible. I trust what the Holy Spirit gave me over the Bible. The emphasis is they'll never contradict each other. Okay, now let's notice number one, get acquainted with the author. The author is the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21, we just read that. Knowing this first, Peter says, here's the initial first. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. What's that mean? Not some private thing. Only our church has a special revelation given to us by God. No, it's public. I'm just reading, if you're in your Bible reading schedule, in our Christian Life Journal, John 18, we just read. And when Jesus stands before Pilate, remember Pilate says, well, what is truth and this and that? Who are you? Do you claim to be king of the Jews? And Jesus says this, and he makes a statement. He says, I spoke openly to the world. I didn't say anything in private. What's your secret message that you and your little disciples over there are trying to consort against us? No, he says, I spoke openly to the world. What's he saying? Everything you need to know, I've given to you. Everything. I've spoken openly. Now, where does the problem lie? Lies with us. We don't know the word. Now, think about this, and I have several things here going through. He is the author. Get acquainted with the author. Do you have the Holy Spirit within you? Let me say again, if you're saved, you claim to be saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in, within you. Paul says that we become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. There's a newness of life. Lord willing, on Sunday, we're going to have several baptisms. And what I always try to emphasize is this. This is a symbol. This is not salvation. This is the death, burial, and resurrection. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. We're identifying with Jesus Christ in that, right? Okay, so think through this. He's the author. Letter B under that. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the Scriptures for us to rightly divide or correctly interpret the Word. Well, we must allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. No human wisdom or application can, in itself, ever correctly interpret the Word of God. Now notice 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. You know these verses. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Well, why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Underline that word. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So again, discernment is given to us when we are saved. The Holy Spirit indwells, gives us spiritual discernment. I've talked to people, maybe you have as well. I know atheists that know more of the Bible than the average Christian. What was the guy's name? Charles Manson. It said that he memorized a large portion of the Scriptures. He would read the Bible all the time. He also claimed to be a form of Jesus Christ. So we can't trust that. He was a little loony. He was crazy in a lot of ways. But you think about it, these are unregenerate people, unsaved people that know the Bible. What's the problem? They can't know. They can't discern spiritual things. You can read it, but you can't apply it. You can't discern it. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, and He indwells us. He indwells and helps us along the way. Okay, get acquainted with Him. Number two, give attention to reading. Now, I know that sounds elementary. That's a no-brainer, but I must emphasize this. We got to give attention to reading. Now, I have a bad habit, and I'm still trying to get rid of it. Pray for me. No, I've got a bad habit. What happens with me is I study the Bible for sake of sermons and messages and other things. I study the Bible, but sometimes I neglect to just read it. You ever like that? I like to study the Bible and put verses with verses and study this. But sometimes, and this is why I greatly emphasize for me, I need a Bible reading schedule to keep me on track, to just read it. I need to read. You as a Christian should read through your Bible from Genesis to Revelation at least once a year, at least once, right? And that's why we're greatly emphasizing that. And these schedules have helped me. I know they've helped you as well. But really, I mean, we've got to know the Bible. We've got to give attention to reading if we're going to rightly divide it and interpret it. Okay, under that, for us to receive what He wants to teach us, we must diligently apply ourselves. We must study, we must learn through a process. And the Holy Spirit does give us some tools and methodology to use. 1 Timothy 4:13. Now notice what Paul says to Timothy. He says, till I come there and visit, give attendance to reading, exhortation to doctrine. The primary method to apply to studying the Bible is reading. You must be acquainted with what it says from Genesis to Revelation. Now, when Paul tells Timothy to give attention to reading, he's not saying just pick up some books and newspapers from the local store and read. He's talking about the Scriptures. And when you need to study and read the Scriptures, Timothy, and pay attention to that. So give attention to it. I have a few things that we've looked at before, so I won't belabor these points. But letter A, read it as you would any book you're interested in learning. Don't gloss over it, but read it. Now, notice, pay attention to what you do understand. And be careful not to get stumped on things you don't understand. I had a fellow just recently, he said, through his Bible reading, he said, Pastor Tim, I came to this portion of Scripture. I have no idea what it means. What does it mean? And I knew exactly where he was going to go, and he pointed it out to me, and I said, I don't know either. And he said, well, gee, thanks for the help. And I said, how about that together we study it together? Okay, so he went home and looked it up. I went home and looked it up. Now, I knew the answer to it, but I wanted him to study it. But when I was studying it, it helped me tremendously because I didn't think about some of the things. I didn't really concentrate on it before like I had now. What you think about now, don't get stumped on things you don't understand. Circle it, write it down in our Christian life journal. We have next to it some lines. Write it down. Hey, verse 26 and 27, I didn't understand them. I'm going to study it. You can easily, I caution you greatly by using the internet, but you can Google anything. You got a question about the Bible or something, you Google one verse, Exodus 3, verse 27, just randomly. You pull up 27 videos on YouTube about some guy talking about it, right? I mean, it's like, it's right there for us. Now, thinking through this, again, read it, study it under that letter B. Allow the exhortation, the preaching to aid you in understanding what you've read. That comes through church attendance, by the way. Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. I like that word. Gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Well, that's what we do in church. We give the word distinctly. Here's what the Bible says. And then what? We gave the sense of it. What does it mean? How do I apply it? Cause them to understand the reading. That's exactly what we do. Now, we've talked about this before, Brother Adam and Miss Steph and me, about our online presence. And I'm all for being online and having live stream. And we have folks that are home right now that are watching us. But there's a natural danger to that. People just stay home. I'm just going to stay home. It's more comfortable and watch the service. And if you can't get out, you're invalid or you can't move or you're feeling sick, or you got to work or something, yeah, please do. But you need to be in church. You need the exhortation. You need the preaching. You need the teaching of the word. You need to sit under that on a weekly basis. Be very careful in what you do, how you do it. Now, 1 Corinthians 1:21, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. Notice, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Okay, now turn the page over, and we'll get through this next section here and get you home. Letter C, then, notice, pay attention to the doctrine, the teaching, and of what you're reading. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, we've already looked at, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed, literally. It is profitable, notice what, for doctrine, it's what's right, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect or complete, right? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He has every tool that he needs right here in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them for in samples. They're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So again, the scripture is for our learning, our admonition. We need to pay attention to that, to the doctrine. You need to pay attention to the doctrine. You need to be a part of a church, by the way, that is heavily doctrinal. Oh, I don't like that church. They're all doctrinal. That's what you need to be a part of. Now, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but you think about some of these churches that are just kind of loosey-goosey, never have a definitive line about anything. I want to know what you believe. If I'm going to bring my family to a church, I want to know what you believe. I want to know what Bible version you use. I want to know what you believe about Jesus Christ. I want to know what you believe about the virgin birth. I want to know what you believe about baptism, about the Lord's table. We're going to partake of the Lord's table next week. Thinking about that. Okay, so think about now. Thirdly, then, let's keep moving. Concentrate then on the meaning of individual words. And I put this here. We must concentrate on the words, plural. Now, to rightly understand what God is saying to us, we must diligently work at making our beliefs fit the words of Scripture instead of trying to make the words fit our beliefs. This is not an easy task because we come to the Bible with theological prejudices. Now, that's true. You take, for example, a kid that grew up in the 60s in the hippie movement. His parents were basically pagans. They believed in Mother Earth and Goddess. You had a guy that came over in the 60s called the Maharishi from India, and the Beatles took this guy's teachings, and he's the guy that invented the transcendental meditation, if you've ever studied that nonsense. And all the hippies fell into this, and they loved all of it, and they followed all the words. Again, it comes back to this. That religion, like any other, they have to follow the teachings of the preacher, the prophet. They don't have a Bible to follow to go home and fact check what he says. Anyways, he brought this stuff out and all these things, all they followed this nonsense and followed these things, and they became, in a way, later on, I've heard the testimony of many of them that converted back to Christianity, of they had a prejudice about the Bible. The Bible was inaccurate. The Bible was not a good book to trust. It has a lot of mistakes in it. It was written by sinful man. How can we trust it? And so they came into this as they read the Bible with a prejudice. Now, we are warned not to do that. Okay, sometimes a doctrine is determined by whether a word is singular or plural. We'll look at that in just a minute. Notice Galatians 3:16. Here's a great example for us to study the meaning of individual words. Now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made, he saith not, and to the seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Just one letter. Adding that S there pluralizes it, doesn't it? Very careful. Why did he emphasize? Because there were teachers in the region of Galatia. It was a group of churches, a teaching in that church area, that they were promoting something that the seed did not come only through Abraham. No, it did. It came through Abraham and Isaac, Jacob, later into Judah. Judah came down through David, through Christ, right? We have to be careful about that. So emphasizing the meaning of individual words. Now, there's a thing called an inductive and deductive method of interpretation. I won't bore you with that tonight, okay? It is a little laborious to study, but it's basically coming to Scripture with a preconceived idea of what it is. I know this. Now, this is something that's very harsh and hard to understand, but I've had several people, in fact, just recently. Brother Tim, I have a brother or I have a son or a daughter. They're homosexual. I believe the Bible. I love the Bible. I believe it's the Word of God, but it contradicts their lifestyle. What do I do? And if you've ever dealt with that, some of you have. It's very hard to explain. I don't know what to say, except coming back to the Bible. We must keep to the Scriptures. If the Scripture is opposed to it, against it, we follow the Bible. And I know that they're going to be offended and they may never talk to you again, and it's going to be awkward at the Thanksgiving table and other things, but we must stick to the Bible. We've got to follow the Bible and not come to it with preconceived understanding or prejudices. Now, there's something called exegesis and eisegesis. Exegesis is that word, E-X, the prefix, always means out of, expire, all right? Those things, that's what it is. We're pulling out from the Bible. We come into it, say, Lord, speak to my heart. I'm digging through the Bible, want to know what you want me to have. Eisegesis is the opposite. It's coming into the Bible and saying, Lord, I already believe this. Now, don't try to change that. What do you get from that is one of them, as we already studied this a few weeks ago, you have alternate versions of the Bible. You have this Bible called the Message Bible. I don't know what it is. They have other versions of it. I won't beat a dead horse here, but there's other versions. There's the Ebonics Bible. Don't even try to read that thing. Lord came down and he created. It's just really weird. And thinking through all these things, this is what you get. Why? You're trying to twist some things and twist it into your own understanding or your own beliefs. Okay. Sometimes doctrine is determined. We study that. Okay. Letter A, the word, the Lord placed great emphasis on the words of Scripture. Now, if you're not reading your Bible and you're not faithful in reading your Bible, then this is very boring to you. Okay. You got to get into the Bible and study it. It's fascinating. It'll change your life. Notice, great emphasis. No, we are to live by every word He's spoken. Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you mean we have every word God spoke? I guess. Do you believe that? Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, plural, shall not pass away. If God, if Jesus said you're going to live by every word I spoke, God is not an unjust God. He's a God of integrity. He's a holy God. He's just. He's not deceitful. He's never lied. He never can lie. He can't lie. So if He said we live by every word, He obviously has to give us every word for us to follow it. And I know you believe that. Okay, number two, let's hasten here. He will judge us by His words that He has spoken. Now, this is the scary part. Mark 8:38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation. By the way, we live in such an adulterous, sinful generation, don't we? Vile generation. Of whom also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with His holy angels. John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Well, who is it? The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. As we read in Revelation, out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, you remember what comes out? Sharp two-edged sword. The Bible's always likened to a sharp two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a sharp two-edged sword, and He's going to judge us out of that. He's going to judge the ungodly, unsaved people. And thinking about this, He will judge us by these very words. So you and I would greatly benefit us to know the Bible. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? By the way, it's not hard to follow the Bible. God asks you to do something, just do it. Why is it so hard for us? You know why? Because we're sinful people. We live in a dark world. Why is it so hard? We don't want to do it. Okay, now think about this. Thirdly, keeping His words assures fellowship and answered prayer. We've got to have answered prayer. John 14:23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It shall be done unto you. Now, again, that's not just asking whatever you want. Lord, I want a new truck, a pickup truck, and a gun. No, it's you're asking according to his will. When you're close to him and in his word and interpreting it correctly, your prayers turn to wants, to needs. Lord, please save my family member. Lord God, help me to be what I'm supposed to be to honor you. Okay, right? We know. And then letter B, notice, give the words their normal meaning. What we call normal, regular interpreted of Scripture. Allow the words to mean what they say, to say what they mean. In our normal understanding of words, unless it is clearly indicated by the passage, they are not to be taken in strict literal sense. Again, every time there's something that's not to be taken literally, the Bible will almost always clarify that. You remember John chapter 6? Have you read that recently? You remember they come to Jesus and Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be a part of me. And they all backed off and went, this guy's nuts. He wants us to be cannibalistic. I'm not following that. And Jesus rebukes them. Why? Because they took that which was figurative and made it literal. And then vice versa later on. We understand the Bible is clear when it's literal, it's literal. When it's figurative, it'll make it clear for us. Now again, he's given us common sense as well. Use that. Not much of that these days, but number one, under that, notice, beware of looking for hidden meanings behind every word. I love Deuteronomy 29:29. Easy to remember, 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know what that means? A lot of people look for secret meanings. Well, and they don't even do what commanded them to do, right? I'm looking for this secret meaning and trying to figure that. Why don't you do what the Bible says? He says anything that we need to both know him and please him has been revealed to us in the Bible. I love it. If you knew a test was coming up and you would take time to study it, you usually have a textbook about that thick. Don't you hate those textbooks? Some of you have a continuing education. A few people in here have to do continuing education. Every once in a while, they have to go through a test to make sure you're up to par. With they give you a thick book. You better know what's in the book, right? That's what we're doing. Beware for looking for hidden meanings. Number two, be careful not to change the meaning of the words to fit your beliefs. Well, again, Psalm 12:6, words of the Lord are pure words, silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Revelation 22:18 and 19 go on to describe some of that as well. This is exactly what they did prior to the Reformation, if you study church history. The priests would stand up and they would twist the words because the people couldn't understand Latin. Only the priest could relay it to the people. And they could say anything they wanted to say. Here in 2 Peter, it says that you need to give more to me. You know, you're not giving enough. And you got these poor people that couldn't. They work for pennies on the dollar, can't even feed their families, and they take everything in their paycheck and go give it to the church and let their kids starve to death. Why? Because the sick, twisted priest behind the pulpit told him what the Bible said, and he twisted the words of God, right? And then the Reformation came, and there was an explosion of what? Learning the Bible for yourself. And praise God, we have it in our own language today. We support several missionaries. They are still trying to translate the Bible into the dialect of the people they're reaching. Can you imagine doing that? That'd be laborious. I mean, oh, I can't even think about that. Into a language. They take the word, okay? Peter. Think of a word. Do you have a word for Peter? No, you don't have a Peter. I don't know. Make one up. So much detail in that that they got to go through. Anyways, okay, let's keep going. We'll wrap it up here. Number four, then pay attention to the context. We know that. When verses are lifted out of context, you can make the Bible say anything you want the Bible to say. Again, I gave a little example here, but notice in Matthew 27:5, it says, and he, Judas, cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, departed and went and hanged himself. Well, Luke 10:37 says, then said Jesus unto him, go do thou likewise. John 13:27, that thou doest, do quickly. If you lifted all three of those verses out of their context, you could make a good case that Jesus advocates suicide, right? You need to go kill yourself. Go and do that quickly. That's not what he said, is it? You've taken those verses out of context, thinking through this. Now again, emphasizing on suicide. In fact, somebody recently asked this, but if you commit suicide, you're not going to go to hell. Okay, that's a Catholic teaching. At least that's what we believe. you're not going to hell. A Christian can get so down in the dumps, even depressed with using outside sources like alcohol and drugs to get to that kind of a point. What I'm saying, though, is here that if you lift verses out of context, you get into trouble. This is exactly what Joseph Smith did. This is exactly what Charles Taze Russell did of the Jehovah Witnesses. This is exactly what a lot of the popes, cardinals, and others do in order to fit their agenda. Now, by the way, we're going to see this with the Antichrist here pretty soon. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he's going to quote the scripture, by the way, to the people. I'm here to help. I'm here to bring peace. You want to do what the Bible says, right? And all the people say, yes, we do. Because they don't know the Bible, they're going to fall prey to that. Deceptive. The end time apostasy of the church, it's called. You find in Revelation, the church, apostasy means a willful falling away. It's not that you accidentally fell. Oh, oops, we tripped over. No, it's you willfully turned from God and the church and the Bible. It's an apostasy of the church. You see this with a lot of these mega churches. They're turning from the scriptures. They're not even following what the Bible says in the basic things. And then you get these people that stand up and say things that are ungodly and heretical. Okay, now, just a few questions here. We'll be done. Now, who is the speaker? To whom is he speaking? Clarify that. What is the setting and the purpose of the statement? What is being said? What is the time frame or dispensation of it being said? We're going to look at dispensations here, Lord willing, later in the year. But there's a lot of things that are written to Israel that people will take and try to apply it to the church, and they get all messed up. It don't work. There's things that are said to the people that are going to go through the tribulation period that are for those people, not us. Other things like that. We'll talk about that later, but it's very important, lastly here, because instruction given to Israel under the law is prohibited to us, but will not always apply to us as it did to them. Keep in mind that the Lord's earthly ministry was under the dispensation of the law. Law did not end until his resurrection. The church age dispensation began then and will continue until the rapture. Some of the Lord's instructions in the Gospels is for tribulation period, as we already said that. Okay, so anyway, suffice it to say, we must be careful. We got to study and understand it. And that's why you sit under Bible preaching and teaching. That's why you study the Bible for yourself. That's why you continue to read your Bible, because you want to learn more and know more. And I want to know what God wants me to do. If you have a family or you're responsible for any other human being, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, anybody, if you're responsible for another human being, you would greatly benefit not only yourself but that person if you knew this book. We've got to know the Bible. I know I emphasize that a lot, but we've got to know the Bible. You need to know what it says. And there is no reason, by the way, that you should have this book closed at home. No reason. It's not in another language where you, well, I would, but as you know, last week I was out of town. I was preaching at my wife's church, and it's a Spanish church. And he asked me, Brother Tim, would you preach on Sunday night? I said, sure. And so I stood up and I preached, and he had to interpret. Well, it's hard to do. Have you ever done it? And I couldn't get into it. I said, and God said, and I had to pause, and he had to interpret. Okay. And then I tried to get, it was confusing. And then I told a joke. And then the people that knew the English, they laughed first. And then he waited and told it, and then they all laughed. It was hard to tell a joke. But I thought, man, it'd be hard if you didn't know the language, wouldn't it? But we have a Bible. We can speak. We understand it. We read it. We know it. Now the responsibility falls on us. Okay. Well, I'll stop there tonight. Anyways, I'll be praying for you this week. Lord willing, we'll come back on Sunday. And we're going to have, Lord willing, several baptisms on Sunday. So pray for that. And then the following, remember, next Tuesday is we'll partake of the Lord's table. And we'll get together there on Tuesday the 26th. So remember that. And then the 31st, the following, is Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. And we'd love to have you. Please invite everyone you can. And invite family, friends, anybody. We're going to try and fill up this room. Amen. And we're going to get as many people here as we can. We're going to have a nice meal right after. We'll have a little egg hunt for the kids. And if you can help us in any way, we would appreciate your help there. All right? All righty. Well, I'll stop there tonight. Thank you for being here. I hope you're doing well. Remember Miss Dawn, please, if you will, tomorrow morning, and keep her in your prayers. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this evening. These dear people, I know they're tired. They've worked a long day. And I praise you for allowing us to be here. Their efforts to come to church tonight, you will bless that. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have a Bible we can trust, Lord, we're not here tonight just twiddling our thumbs, being here part of a social club. We're here to hear the word. And we know we have a Bible we can trust. We believe it. We can't wait for your return, Lord. We look forward to that. Be with Ms. Dawn, especially tomorrow morning. I pray you'd guide her and help her and encourage her. We love and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.